hey, I got friends coming over. We want to do karaoke. How are we going to do that? If the system is intelligent enough, it would understand I can push the lyrics on the Samsung screen. I can use the microphone from the 520. And then I can use the other speakers to amplify. And by the way, I also found some party lights and I can make the whole situation more immersive. And this is really cool because now I have a feature that I didn't even pay for because I didn't buy a karaoke system. I just bought quite a few different devices and they're going to do it for me.
Hi there, my name's Oisin Lunny and welcome to Audio Talks presented to you by Harman. And in this first episode of Series 11, we thought we'd turn up the volume all the way to 11 with our first ever video podcast recording that's happening right here in Club JBL London in League Street. And we are joined by a live audience. Let's make some noise, audience. And we do have an epic special guest for this. We are going to get the vision of the future of audio. Can we please give a round of applause to the CTO of Harman, Armin Pommersberger? Fantastic. So listen, Armin, this is not your first time on Audio Talks. We have had incredible chats about the use of AI in making audio and listening to audio, about the role of technology in car and in automotive experiences. But right now we're going to get the vision of the future. And you have released some incredible new technology today, which our wonderful audience is enjoying already, I think. And one of the big themes about this is AI powered enhancements that are baked directly into the products with something called Audio Boost. So we've got things like the Extreme 4, the Charge 6, the Flip 7, and this really is the beginning of a whole new chapter for Harman and JBL. So thank you so much for joining us and giving us the lowdown, giving us the vision of the future. I would first like to start with a bit of an obvious question. We hear a lot about AI. I saw you kind of grimace when I mentioned it there. It's something of a buzzword these days. So if we can get real, tell us, where is the intelligence here?
We didn't get even 1 minute into the thing without AI. I will try to not mention the word as much as possible. I don't really like it, but there's a lot to say about intelligence. So why is it called AI Sound Boost? What are we doing there? I think to me, every product launch, and we have quite a few today, they are like photographs, right? They are a snapshot in time on a journey. And this is our journey as a company towards a bigger goal. And this time, what we are launching in the Flip 7, the intelligence really, you need to think, we have very tiny little devices and we want to make them sound really big. And that is a problem. I think most of you are into the audio domain, right? It's like, so you know, it's big bass normally means you move a lot of air. A lot of air needs big speakers, a lot of power, big enclosures. And here comes this tiny little thing, the size of a Coke can, right? How do we do that? What we achieved first with Sound Boost is we build a model to predict, dependent on a certain income, which is the content, the payload, the carrier signal, and the desired output, which is the volume settings of the user, the system knows the state of the transducer, right? So, and it says, okay, I can push it so far. And with this income signal, I need to adjust these kind of parameters so it gets as close as possible to the user's desire without breaking the device. I think that's already pretty neat. And one of the key elements there of intelligence is, and that's why I don't like the whole discussion around AI. When people talk AI today, everyone thinks, oh, large language models and generative AIs and all of these fancy things. If I would ask, because we're going to run a large language model for adjusting Sound Boost, I need now 500 grams of a battery, 3 SoCs and 32 gigabytes of DRAM. Most probably the product wouldn't sell, right? Because it becomes this big, 3 times the price, doesn't do anything better. The intelligence and where I think we as a company have won up to the whole industry is we understand physics, we understand acoustics, we understand perception. When you have access to so much data collected over 30 years, right, and you infuse this, ingest this into a training database for a quite intelligent algorithm, you got something more that others don't, right? So that's where the intelligence comes in.
Outstanding. I mean, it's not only that 30 plus years of data. Obviously, our good friend, Dr. Sean Olive, has been working on this for so long. It's really interesting and informative and kind of definitive for the industry. You've also got this heritage of almost 80 years with JBL. So if you add this all together, you kind of get like the best possible person to ask to come to your house and tune all your hi-fi and make sure everything is speaking to itself. I mean, could we get a virtual Sean Olive or perhaps a virtual Armin Promisberger to come in and, you know, make my hi-fi just perfect?
Okay, so question to the room, right? It's like, I'm not sure if your life is like mine. Normally in every group of friends, you have one audio nerdy guy or technically nerdy guy. And when we meet at someone's house, there's always something to fix, right? It's like, oh, I just bought this new device. It's not working as it should. When I visit my parents, my mom comes, hey, she just got a Windows 11 laptop. That's a disaster for someone, right, in the 70s. So that's my life. What we thought about this is like many of us in Harman have kind of the same life. We are seen as the audio guy. So when we go somewhere, someone tells us, fix this. Why can we not simply ship a system engineer with every product we ship? And we thought about this. So we did the usual, you do the ideation sessions, right? And what we found is most probably if we ship all of our system engineers, they need to live somewhere in someone's basement. They need to live somewhere in the car. You need to feed them. Not a good idea. So we thought about, can we do this virtual? And this is what we really think the vision for us is. What you see in AI Sound Boost, for example, in the Flip 7 right now, is the starting point. It's like taking a photograph in time. Right now, we are compensating for making this little thing sound really big. The next steps are going much further. Right now, for example, noise is coming in from the side. We all hear it. It's unfortunate, right? It would be nice if the sound system just would compensate for the noise coming in. Intelligibility goes higher. It's less stressful. You understand better what I'm saying. Now, let's say you come over to my house, right? And we start talking. This thing is playing. To this thing and its microphone, your voice and my voice sound like noise. Literally, it's like for the microphone, it's just noise. So we are talking, this plays in the background. It detects, oh my God, there's noise. I need to compress it. I need to raise the volume. We recognize that something is getting louder. So we start talking louder. And then the device thinks, oh, there's more noise. I need to increase the volume again. So it's like, this is going really in a vicious circle, right? You can see where the downfall is. The intelligence, and this is where I think it, now we're starting to talk really about what is called artificial intelligence, understanding context. If the device can understand and can distinguish between noise it should be treating and noise it should be disregarding, that's the first moment when you really can talk about AI. If you think about how AI really is defined, it's mimicking intelligent human behavior by a machine. That's all it is. This definition is around since about 60 odd years, so way before personal computers. And this is where I think we as Harman are really good. We can mimic a sound engineer's behavior in such a device and give it then also the understanding of context. And by this, you are raising the bar to a highly intelligent audio device, right?
Absolutely. So you're kind of talking about 30 plus years of data, you know, 80 years of heritage with JBL. This is a group of amazing people who really know about sound. And you are kind of distilling this into this incredible AI that's baked into the devices. But now that we've covered one buzzword, I would like to segue elegantly onto another one for you, Armin. The word is ecosystems, because I know that this is something that your new devices are part of. It's like your new devices aren't standing by themselves. They are part of a whole ecosystem. Could you take us through what this looks like?
So ecosystem, why is this important to us? What we were talking about intelligent devices is right now we're talking about one device, right? A really intelligent headphone like the One M3, a really intelligent Flip 7, right? But they are working in isolation and doing their thing. For those not even 30, most probably you have not seen how the whole Bluetooth thing came to life.
Yeah.
Right? For us in 40, 50 and above, let's not count further, We have seen, we went from cables and wires to wireless. And like 10, 15, 20 years back when the whole thing kind of started, the biggest problems we had were like three things. A, the sound quality over wireless was really bad. Compression. B, the battery lifetime of the devices was really bad. Like you got an hour out of it and then you were toast. And C, it was really hard to find something to connect it to. And when it was connected, you never knew how long it's going to be connected. These things are problems of the past. They today are hygiene factors. We can always go a little bit better in sound. We can always go a little bit longer, but these things now last 10 hours and longer, right? All of them sound actually quite good. And what is now the problem that we have to solve in the world, right? It's like when you buy a new device, smartphone, car, loudspeaker, AVR, streaming device, what is your biggest problem?
Oh, getting everything just to connect and just to work. I mean, this is what it should be, but it doesn't often feel that way.
So I roll with get it to work. I hate reading manuals.
Yeah.
Right? I stopped reading manuals when I was 8 years old. I have broken a lot of things on the way. So why should I adjust to the device? Why should I learn the device? Why do I need to read 300 pages? Right? I paid for the thing. It should do to my bidding, please. And this is where ecosystem comes in, because most of the times we are dealing with more than one device. One device is easy, multiple devices hard. Whoever have set up in this room a multi-room system with like 10 speakers around the house knows exactly what I'm talking about. And the ecosystem to us is less about how many devices. It's more about the intelligence built in, which really means how good is the interoperability between devices. Most devices only do one thing. They say, hello world, I am here. But they don't tell you who are you, what are you capable of, what can you do for me and what can you not do. So interop is really a big thing for us. And this is like the second big part besides intelligence, the interoperability. Once you get there, you have a really powerful system.
Right. So you have these really intelligent devices. You have this ecosystem that connects them. This kind of makes me think of a discussion we had in Las Vegas at CES earlier this year. And you debuted to the world the hit of CES. So this, I think, is fascinating in terms of how it makes all this technology very easy for the end user. Could you tell us about Luna?
For us, it is the face of what is called an orchestration AI. And why orchestration? In a car, it's very simple. My task is to drive, right? And I want to get safe from point A to point B. And today we have quite intelligent systems, cameras that are observing whether we are getting drowsy, we are getting tired, we are distracted. This input can be used for other things. Because also in the new cars, if any one of you has an actual car, suddenly there are 5 screens all over the place and you can watch movies, you can see navigation, you can have WhatsApp messages, the full show, right? But it can be very distractive, and that is very, very scary. If you ever drive from A to B 100 times, like from home to the office, at 101 time, you get to the office and you don't even know how you got here, right? It's like because you were thinking. Our system knows that. Our system, which is called ReadyCare, can understand two things. Your cognitive load, which really means, are you focused on your task or are you focused on something else, which is like a meeting, you had a fight with your partner, whatever it is in the morning, right? And then it understands your biological situation, right? It understands heart rate interval, breathing rate interval, all of those things. What can we do with this? We know how stressed you are. Once I know how stressed you are, I can orchestrate in a car what you see at what moment in time, because I want to reduce stress. So I'm going to reduce content. How do we take this into the hi-fi world, right? So think about what we talk. We have now intelligent devices. We have many of them, and then they interoperate. So they talk to each other nicely. They speak the same language. If we put on top of this an orchestration AI that says, oh, I know he has 3 flips, a soundbar from JBL, a Samsung TV, a Samsung mobile phone, and he really likes heavy metal in my right? It's like, I'm sorry, I'm a hair metal guy. And then he has friends coming over. And then he asks actually Luna, hey, I got friends coming over. We want to do karaoke. How are we going to do that? If the system is intelligent enough, it would understand, hey, there's a Party Box 520 over there with a microphone. There are the Extreme speakers back here. There is the Samsung TV over there. I can push the lyrics on the Samsung screen. I can use the microphone from the 520. And then I can use the other speakers to amplify. And by the way, I also found some party lights like we have out there. And I can make the whole situation more immersive. The system can all of this do for me without me having to go through a single application, through a single menu. And this is really cool because now I have a feature that I didn't even pay for because I didn't buy a karaoke system. I just bought quite a few different devices and they're going to do it for me.
I love it. I love it. One of my main takeaways there is basically heavy metal karaoke at Armin's place. Absolutely. Mark your diaries. So you have just taken us through how this kind of delightful interface, namely Luna, can orchestrate these different AI elements, just making it really, really easy for the consumer. But, you know, when we're talking about audio, could you give us an example of that kind of seamless audio journey, the audio experience with all of this cool tech just working?
So I think one good example is what I have around here, my neck, right? It's like headphones. We all use headphones. I use it a lot for work. I use it a lot for workout. And actually, I use it quite often to watch a movie. And in environments like this, you need really good noise cancellation. Otherwise, it's kind of odd. You just turn up the volume. It's getting stressful. Now, here comes physics again, right? These devices. How does noise cancellation work? It's like you take a microphone signal, you understand there's noise that is undesired, you compute an anti-noise signal, you put it on the loudspeakers, it cancels out the noise. The problem is the time in between recognizing there is noise and the time you have to put in the anti-noise. The more time I have, the better it works. Now, these devices have 8 microphones. But each microphone is a maximum, like if there's 1 inch between my eardrum and the microphone, it's a lot. And you can calculate with speed of sound and the distance, how many milliseconds I have from I recognize something to I compensate something. So that's not a lot of time. This is the physical limitation. If I could use, because I know also Eugen has over here this JBL speaker and my headphone could access the microphone stream from those microphones, it's a meter away from me, right? Even over Wi-Fi, I would have much more head-up time for what noise is coming towards me, and I can create a better ANC. Now, this is some time out. It has artifacts. It has timing issues. But this is how you can see how a connected ecosystem can, even for the individual device, create a better experience.
I love it. I love the future that we're moving towards, but I'm going to drop another buzzword now because we've spoken about AI, we've spoken about ecosystems, and we've learned a lot about how this all makes a seamless experience for the consumer. Talk to us about any kind of immersive elements in here, because I know if these things are connected, it's going to get very cool.
All right. Immersive is actually the one buzzword you get away with. Because I think it's the one concept that is not fixed in time. It's like my generation, when I was playing my Commodore C64, like 10 years old, immersive was something very different than if I use right now, for example, an AR or VR glass and have 360 sound with audio objects all around me. At that point in time, I was happy to plug in the sound and play it back stereo, right? And it was so immersive. So immersive to me needs two things, right? It's like, A, it needs an environment. It can be a headphone. It can be a room. It can be many, many things, but it needs the right hardware. It needs to be set up right. It needs the software that comes with it. And it needs to understand a little bit my physics. So maybe it's adjusting, for example, to how my eardrum looks like and so on. The second part, though, is the content. Because without content, upmixing immersive is so. If it's really meant for being immersive, like gaming, which is fundamentally, this is the birthplace of immersive, then you got a really experience that blows your mind because you can connect the visual, the audio, and maybe even tactile.
Fantastic. I'm glad you mentioned content, because obviously we have a room full of amazing music lovers, full of creators. We got some folks here who are probably thinking, this sounds very exciting. I would love to be part of this immersive ecosystem. How can creators get their hands on the tools to make content for this exciting new world?
I think this is, to me personally, an exciting journey. I started my life in recording studios. So I was sitting at big mixing desks, and they were as expensive as an apartment. And you always had to make the decision, do I buy a new car? Do I buy a new mixing desk? I drove the same car for 15 years. I had quite a few mixing desks.
Yes.
So what's happening there is, in the last 10 years, the whole content creation got democratized, which I love. You buy yourself a MacBook. You buy yourself, for example, Logic. You put a few plugins in there, a few good headphones, a few good microphones, and you're set up. Like literally, you're doing this right now here, right? So this is the moment when consumer devices like these headphones, even something like this, I see friends listening, for example, to an Extreme when they are playing back, because literally their audience will also use an Extreme or Flip or something like this to play back from YouTube. So they are testing this not on these big studio speakers and monitors. They are testing it on something like that. And that's really for someone coming out of this. It's amazing, because we had to charge amazing amounts of money to people who wanted to be creative. And now I can do it literally for free. I'm not sure. Does anyone in this room know IAMF, or it's called now Eclipse, right? It's a new audio format, an immersive audio format. It's a collaboration between our mothership. Thank you, Samsung, and ourselves, right? Harman and then YouTube and a few other companies. And the big thing about this is it's royalty free. So every content creator in this room will be able to use immersive sound and doesn't have to pay royalty. I think that's pretty spot on where we need to go.
Fabulous. Right. You've been very generous with your time, Armin. I really appreciate it. You've explained where we are today with artificial intelligence, with the ecosystem, with connectivity, with immersive technology, and also with the democratization of all of this cool technology. But I would love, for your last question, to invite you to take out your crystal ball. Could you talk to us a bit about what you see in the kind of far, far away? Where is this all heading?
Let's turn this question around. I was like, I'm not sure about crystal balls, because we're going to meet in 5 years. None of my predictions will have happened. So let's not go there. Let's talk about what we are really seeing and what we are working on. So the one is really intelligent devices, right? The more intelligent, the better. As simple as it comes, because you can make a really good device sound amazing if you understand the user, the content, the context, the environment. It's going to one level up without paying more for the device. The next thing is all about interoperability, that each device is not an island. They can do more together for you than just alone.
I love it. So you're creating experiences, like the technology in a way is just what underpins magic. So listen, Armin, I've got one more bonus round question for you. I'm going to put you on the spot. Could you add a track to our VIP Tidal playlist? Everyone from Carl Cox to A.R. Rahman has chosen a track for this playlist, and now it's your turn. What would you like to go on?
Imagine Dragons, Radioactive.
Outstanding choice. Outstanding. Yes, I'm going to add a little track myself, because you've taken us into the nitty-gritty of the future of audio. So I'm going to choose Shirley Ellis and The Nitty-Gritty. My dear friends, please show your appreciation for Armin Promisberger. So thank you so much for joining us. Don't forget to like, subscribe, comment, and share Audio Talks with your friends and family. If you're enjoying the Audio Talks series of podcasts, why not pop over to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts and leave a nice review. It really does help the podcast, and it helps other people to get to know the magical guests that we have on every episode, like Armin Promisberger. For more exclusive content, some behind-the-scenes goodies, and maybe even some competitions, connect with us over on the Instagram. You can find us at Audio Talks podcast. We will be back soon for some more futuristic audio talks. See you next time. Thank you, Armin, and thank you, Club JBL London.